The signs of Christmas are everywhere. Think about that. The signs of Christmas are everywhere. When we recognize that Christmas is about Christ and about Him being the point and purpose for the season in which we celebrate, the signs of Christmas really are everywhere. Last week we were challenged with the question, what have you made Christmas in your heart? We had to answer that tough question of what have we made all of this, and how has it penetrated, and how has it become a part of our heart? And we also recognize that the signs of Christmas may be everywhere, but what about for the people that don't recognize Christ as the centerpiece of Christmas? What about if there are people that don't understand that all of this and all the hoopla of Christmas is really centered around the main character of Christ? Think about this. How will they know? How will they know? How would they, what would lead them to believe that they would understand that Christ is the center? Listen, I got to tell you this morning. This world will not know that Christ is the center of Christmas unless we show them. Unless we show them. Now notice I didn't say unless we tell them. Because you know the truth is, in this day and age, talk is cheap. Talk doesn't go anywhere. You could say all you want that you're a Christian. You can say all you want that you believe that Christ is the centerpiece of Christmas. It's not going to mean anything until you actually start to show people that this is the way that we celebrate. This is the way that we're called to live. Talk falls short. We've got to understand that it's not enough just to tell people. I love telling people to read the story of Jesus' birth in John. I know, their look on their face actually mimics kind of the look on your face. You're like, wait a minute, I don't believe that the story of Jesus' birth is found in John. Actually, open your Bibles to John chapter 1. And then I'm also going to ask you to put a marker in Ephesians 5. So we're going to look in John 1. And then we're going to keep a marker in Ephesians 5. I'm going to kind of get to that a little bit later. This is a little different for me. I'm not used to you all being so close. I'm not quite sure what the draw this morning. I kind of feel like I might need to stand back a little bit. You guys are in trouble if you are sitting a little bit closer, because you know sometimes I tend to wander. So you might have to kind of keep track with me. So John 1, we're going to start in verse 1 through 5. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Think about the implications this passage has to Christmas. We see this passage in the usage that John uses this word, to describe God. But this word falls really short in what John is really saying and what he's implying here. Translated into Greek, this word, is translated to logos. Logos. Basically, John was saying that the identity that governed and created the universe from the very beginning is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. He uses this word intentionally for us. Understanding that Trinity means Father, Son, and Spirit. And understanding that it's interchangeable, three in one. Let's look at what John's implying here. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus all things were made. Without Jesus nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus' light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Think of the implications. And we know what? We know that we're on good theological ground by saying this, because in the same chapter in verse 14, John comes right out and he says that Jesus is the light of the world. He says that Jesus is the Word. And look at it, verse 14 in chapter 1. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. It's here that John teaches us an incredible word. And it's a word that I hope that you take with you. It's incarnation. Incarnation. It's a powerful word that John teaches us, meaning that God came down and became flesh. Let me make sure that we understand that this morning. God, in His holiness and infinite in power and wisdom, came down and became flesh. The word Emmanuel sums it up for us. God with us. That's a powerful promise. And we're first introduced to Him, as the prophets foretold, as a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. But the implications of the incarnation go much further than just the Christmas story. Much further than that. I like how Eugene Peterson puts verse 14 in the Message. He says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Moved into the neighborhood. This verse not only has implications for the fact that Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us, but it also shapes for us an understanding that God desires to move into our neighborhoods. I feel like I need to start over. Let me go back from the beginning. The true signs of Christmas are everywhere. I'm going to keep preaching until we start amening and start really grappling with what's being said here. God desires to move into our neighborhoods. But the truth is, He'll never be able to move effectively into our neighborhoods unless we bring Him with us. God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Do your neighbors look at you and think the same thing? Now listen, I'm speaking directly this morning to those who have a relationship with Christ and have had this understanding of what this season is all about. I'm talking to you this morning. Does your neighborhood know that God has moved into the neighborhood? And I know that's challenging for us this morning, but the implications of incarnation is so much bigger than Jesus becoming flesh and coming and dwelling with us. It's about us living that out so that people can see God move in incredible ways. He's waiting for us to do that. Go back to the initial question that I posed at the beginning of this morning. What about people who don't recognize the signs of Christmas? What if they don't recognize all of these signs that the kids helped us understand this morning, and they can't see quite that this is really the point and purpose of Christmas is Christ? How will they know? I feel like I need to say it again. I really want us to hear this morning. They won't know unless we show them. Reading verse 4 and 5 in John has an incredible understanding for us, especially during the Christmas season. Verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." That life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I mean, listen to those words. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. We have reason to celebrate this morning. Because darkness isn't going to win. You know, the truth is, we already know that Christ won the war. But we also understand that right now we're in the battle of our lives. But darkness will not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and Jesus was born in a nasty, nasty barn, basically. I mean, it was an animal pen that was carved out of the side of a large rock. The scene that we have in our minds of the manger is usually this beautiful picture of Mary looking all glowing and Joseph standing over top with his staff, and Jesus never cries. Let me tell you, think about the conditions that our Savior came into this world. A food trough for animals was where the Son of Man laid His head. The place would have stunk. It would have been cold. They would have been tired. Mary would have looked like a mess. I mean, she just gave birth with a bunch of animals standing around. And it wasn't this pretty, beautiful little barn with this nice lit fire in the corner. It was this nasty cutout carved out of a large rock. It was humble beginnings. And the amazing thing about that story is that for the first time in the world's history, a tiny ray of hope was born. That would become the hope, the greatest story of hope that this world has ever and will ever see. It's amazing when we think about the fact that the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus later would grow up to understand that he really was the light of the world. He really understood this. We look at John chapter 8, verse 12. This is what it says. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world." These aren't John's words. These are Jesus' words. This is what he pronounced it to the people. He's like, "Listen, I am the light of the world." And it's amazing. He says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Don't miss the promise in the hearing of his word this morning. Don't miss the promise. He says, "Whoever follows me," listen to the strong word that's used here, "will never walk in darkness." Will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hear me this morning. This passage doesn't say that there won't be times that you feel, notice my language here, that you'll feel like you've been walking in darkness. It doesn't say that it's going to stop the feeling that we feel like sometimes we're walking in this world alone and in the darkness. But the truth is, you have to understand, your feelings and the reality of who God is in your life are two different things. Because you are never alone. When you accept the light of life, you never walk through the world in darkness. You're never left wondering, is God there or is he not there? Because he's always there. When you follow his holy light, you are never alone. A passage that God has just, I mean, it was one of those heavy moments where you know, I'm in prayer about God, just give me words that just bring this to life. And he took me right to Isaiah 42:16. I hope you get as excited about this passage as I do. I'm not trying to will that on you or anything, and I know I'm a Bible nerd and all that, but this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Isaiah 42:16, "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things that I will do. I will not forsake them." That's not just good news. That's outstanding news. Because I can tell you firsthand that there are many times in my life, even now, that I need God in his holy light to come and make the rough places smooth. I need him to shine his holy light into the darkness that I feel. Because I need God in those moments. And I need to just simply cry out to him. And I circle the promise in this scripture. It's okay to hold God to his word. It's okay to hold God to his word. When you read his word and you read that these things I will do and I will not forsake them, right? I will not forsake them. I circle that promise in scripture and I say, "God, remember what you said in your word. You said that you would lead. You said that you would make the rough places smooth. You said that you would guide us, that you would make the darkness into light, that these are the things that you would do, and that you won't forsake me." Man, God loves nothing more than for his people to hold him at his word. Because you in that moment are believing in the power of who Christ really is. But what about the people that don't see His light? If we look at verse 12 in John 8 again, it says there's not just a promise that we'll never walk in darkness, but there's actually a transference of light to you. Look at what it says, remember? It says, whoever follows me will have the light of life. Will have. There's a tangibleness to this. There's a thing that you can feel, touch. You'll have the light of life. There's a possession. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Meaning that the light of life that comes from Him will be given to you. And you can take hold of it. You can claim it as your own. You have the light of life. If you've accepted Christ into your life and you're living in His principles and by His ways, guess what? You are the owner of your very own light of life. Congratulations. Now start using it. I mean, the implications of this are just, they're huge. And then I have to go back. What about the people that don't have the light of life? I mean, let's just be very honest this morning. Scripture tells us very clearly that there are those that see and those that have not seen yet, or those that will never see. This is what Scripture tells us. And when we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it helps us to understand why. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 actually really kind of tells us, well, why is that? Well, listen, the God of this age, now let's be clear about who that is. That's Satan. That's who Paul's referring to here. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Now, here's the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. When we read this passage, right here it says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Isn't it interesting how Paul writes this note out? He says that he's blinded the minds of unbelievers, but they can't see the light. He doesn't say that he blinded the eyes. He says he blinded the mind. Remember what Paul would say later? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. I think sometimes we forget how important it is to make sure that we don't just believe things here, but we move them to here. But where do they typically start first? It's in the mind. So when he says here that the God of this age, speaking of Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I love this verse because it really kind of helps put all of this into perspective. I mean, it really kind of brings this conversation into kind of a full circle. The reason people can't see the light of Christ during Christmas is because the God of this world, unfortunately, who is reigning right now, has done a great job at blinding us to seeing it. It's just like the gifts. And you can see the walls coming down. I mean, we had it built up there for the last 2 weeks. But the reason why we can't see Christ during Christmas is because the God of this age has put so much stuff in front of it and wants to say that those things in front of the manger are more important than what's behind it. The God of this age, Satan, has done a great job lulling us all to sleep. And I'm sorry, I'm not gonna just allow us to stand back and we're gonna be a church that plays nice. I'm not playing nice. Because you know what? The kingdom of God isn't nice. The kingdom of God forcefully advances, and forceful men lay hold of it. And it's a great opportunity for us to go, man, I believe this all year round. I'm gonna continue to believe it all year round. I'm not going to be lulled to sleep. I'm not going to allow the God of this age to take my mind and do anything else with it. But I'm going to allow His holy light to shine into my life in such a way that, man, I'm going to bust through all that other stuff that so easily entangles me, so easily ensnares me, so easily grabs hold of me. I mean, what does the writer of Hebrews say? Throw off everything that so easily entangles us. throw off. Now I'm going to make this message really real for all of us in this room. You may be here this morning and you've never experienced Christ as the light of your life. For you this morning, you need to hear what God is trying to tell you. That He desires to be the light of your life. For some of you this morning, this is old hat. You've accepted Christ a long time ago. You've been living within that relationship, and Christmas has rolled around once again. But for you this morning, this message means something completely different. It's kind of like this. Christ is the light of this world. There's a transference of that light to us. He wants to give you the light of your life. He wants to make sense out of what you think right now is your world of darkness. He wants to shine His holy light into it. And for others of us who have accepted that light into our darkened world, we have to do something with it. We have to share it with those around us. Because if we don't, shame on us. Shame on us. The theme for this week in our Advent Conspiracy series is give more. But the question is, give more what? Give more what? Well, I hope to, in reading Ephesians 5, I'd hope to share that with you, what that looks like. So turn with me to Ephesians 5. It says in verse 1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Notice why He says that we are to walk in the way of love. It's because He first loved us. And what does the Scripture say? It's because He first gave Himself for us. That's why we're to do this. That's why we're supposed to walk in this way of love. It's because of His great love for us. He came down, became flesh, and ultimately the story would end on a cross. Listen to me, folks. He was nailed to His cross. I think we can carry ours. He was nailed to His cross. I think that we can carry ours. What does the Scripture say in Romans? It says, daily I pick up my cross and I follow Him. It says daily. It doesn't say I do it just at Christmas. It doesn't say I pick it up at Thanksgiving and put it back down at Pentecost. It doesn't say that I get to choose which day I'm going to pick it up and which day I'm not. It says daily I pick up my cross and I follow Him. I mean, for us this morning, it's something that we have to wrestle with. Verse 8, skipping down, says, for you were once darkness. Look at the language. It doesn't say you were once in darkness. It says you were darkness. You were once darkness. But now, again, look at the language that's used here. You are light. Not you are in the light. It says you are the light. You are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I can't help but really put all of this into perspective. And to think about the scene that night, that starry night, when the Savior came and became flesh. That started a course of history that would land at the cross. But we wouldn't have the cross until we had the manger. I always picture in my mind this beam of light that, you know, kind of like radiated from Jesus, you know, that shined up into the sky. You know, maybe the star was brighter because the light that was finally seen on earth was illuminating the star. And shepherds came and they were like, we just saw this light. I mean, it's crazy. And I always have that picture in my mind because it's that light. Kind of think about this. It's like a candle. If everybody in this room had a candle and I had one candle and I took and went over and I lit a candle, I could take that and I could hand it to you. You could take your candle and you would light yours. And then you could light the person next to you. And then throughout time, all of a sudden, we would have all these lights. That's the story. That's the story. What happened 2,000 years ago in a nasty, dirty animal pen was a spark that would become a light of the world. And it's that light that God not only desires to give to you to illuminate the darkness around you. For some of us this morning, the darkness that surrounds you, you feel like it is so dark and it is, and you can't even see. There's no light at the end of the tunnel, right? We all know that expression. And you this morning feel like the darkness has overcome you. Listen to the promise in His Word. Darkness will not win. Darkness has not overcome. It is not won. When you walk with His holy light, no matter what the world around you does or throws at you or tells you who you are, or the darkness that you experience in your life, it will not compare to His holy light. So for us this morning, some of you this morning, you just may want to just accept this light and say, God, I want to hold You to Your promise that You will make the rough ground smooth, that You will light the way, that You will take the world of darkness around me and You will give me hope. And some of us this morning, you already have this. You already have this promise. You live it every day. And what I'm asking you to do is to take it and make sure that the people around you know. I mean, there's a challenge for us this morning. And the challenge is that we just simply recognize that what happened in the manger was God's story of redemption. It was God's story of incarnation. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. A promise for us this morning is to recognize that again, and I say this a lot just because I really hope we get this. God is not a far off God. God is not somewhere else waving at you saying, come find me, come find me. But just like God entered the world through that tiny baby, He has entered into your world. What we need to do is we need to fight against Satan and his schemes and the fact that he's blinded our minds so that we can't see it. And we need to put it down. We need to throw it off. And we need to say, God, I want Your holy light. I need Your holy light. As we close this morning, my prayer for this whole entire week is that something would stir in us to respond to these messages. That we just wouldn't go through another season and go, oh, these stories, they're so nice. It's got to be more than nice. There's got to be more to all of this. There's got to be a response that we have, whether it is to accept that light, reject that light, or to pass that light to the people around us. And as we close, we're going to sing a song. Last week, we sang a song, you know, "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my king." Actually, that's not what we sang last week. We apologized last week for what we've made Christmas. What we're going to sing this week is what I just said. But I want you to think about these words. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Think, just think about that for a second. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see. Beauty that's made this heart adore you. So again, just as an act of response and confession, I just ask for us to stand as we close. And as we sing this song, and I'm gonna do something I just pray right now, Lord, that you'd have your way in us. This morning as we close, I just want to offer you an opportunity for some that want to receive this light. I'm going to ask you to do something hard. I want you just to simply step out. And I'm just going to ask you to come to this place right over here. If you can see where I'm directing, just right over here at this altar of prayer. I want to specifically give you an opportunity to pray this morning, because I believe in my heart that there are those this morning that God is speaking to you saying, I want to be the light in your darkened world. And I know it's hard, but I can tell you with great confidence and faith that by stepping out and making that decision, we're going to make sure that we'll have people that will pray with you. But you will have no idea the release that you'll experience of just letting it go. Saying, God, I get it. I get it. And even if right now you have questions and all those types of things, just coming and just being obedient to what He's placed on your heart right now. And then maybe this morning you want to just simply pray. And you just simply want to come and just say, I just want to be just built up. I want to be restored, renewed, whatever that looks like for you. I just encourage you just to respond to Him now. So as we sing, if you want to accept this light and understand more about it and you want to step out in faith, I encourage you to come and we're going to pray. We're going to pray with you. And if you just want to respond however God's leading you this morning, just feel free to do so.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness.
Could you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the challenge of your word to us this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that you recognized early that we are a people that are in need of a Savior. Lord, we understand that things in life will grow strangely dim, but you are the light of this world. And I thank you that darkness has not overcome it. So, Lord, I pray for all of us this morning. I pray that you would continually pour your light out over us. Lord, the challenge in our hearts this morning is to recognize that you are the God of all comfort and peace. To recognize that during this time of year, when so much can blind us, so much can take our focus off of you. But Lord, that you desire so much for the light of your life to be poured out into our lives. So Lord, I pray right now that the path before us would be lit by your word. That the path before us would be lit by your presence. That we would be able to leave here encouraged with hope, knowing that you have given us an incredible gift. Lord, help us to do something with it. To share it with those around us. Lord, to understand what it means to be incarnational. That you stepped down into this world of darkness and became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Now you look at us and say, do the same. Share it with the people around us. Lord, thank you for the challenge that you've placed in our hearts this morning. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Please go quietly. You are dismissed.